Well, we appreciate the presence of each one today. We are glad to have all of the visitors with us and want you to come back. I guess you all had a good holiday season, visiting with your families and loved ones and enjoying all of that good food. I'm glad that President Lincoln wanted us to have a day in the country to express our gratitude. That was a long time ago, in the 1800s. And how our country's changed, and how so many of our leaders are not what some leaders used to be, at least in deferring to God and His will, and knowing of the necessity of having His favor to be successful. It's an amazing thing to read the literature and to see what they thought about things on a national scale, and how our country has now gone so far away from a deferring to God and His will. And as we mentioned in the announcements, it is good to be praying for the overthrow of that horrible bill regarding abortion. How long will God put up with America, killing children like we do every day? And when you try to stop it, you know, taking that to court. Because so many hearts are so evil now and corrupt and without moral guidance because they're crushing their consciences. They're doing something. Rebellious spirits, something is happening to cause that degree of slaughter of little children. It's an amazing thing that you can send somebody to the moon, but you kill babies. An incredible thing. Morality has not kept pace with technology. That's the way the world is. I hope you are grateful for all of your blessings and Thanksgiving, I guess. This is the wonderful time of the year because you pause with family and loved ones. You have such good memories and good blessings and good food and good association. It's just wonderful. This sermon is called Thanks. That's the title of the lesson, Thanks. And I want us to think about various descriptives of thanks that you find in Scripture. And I don't know how many of these we'll get to, but we'll do what we can. But I want to begin this lesson by going back to the Old Testament, Leviticus 22:29, and think about the category. This is the offering of thanksgiving. In the Jewish law, they had so many sacrifices, you know. You really, the high priest and the priests, in order to carry on faithfully, had to really keep their minds on the law of God regarding the specifics of the sacrifices. And they were to teach the people so that they would know what sacrifice went with what situation. The peace offering, the meal offering, the thank offering, the trespass offering, the sin offering, the wave offering, the drink offering. And there was what was called the thank offering. And this is unusual in a way. Because in that passage, it was allowed to be offered whenever you will. Isn't that something? Now, there were specifics regarding a lot of the sacrifices, on what day they would be offered. But regarding the thank offering, Leviticus 22:29, you can offer that whenever you will. It reminds me of patriarchy. You know, in patriarchy, the days of Abraham and Job, those people could just, anytime they wanted to, whether they were at home or on a trip, they could just build an altar. If the mood struck them, they could just build an altar and offer a sacrifice. Now, you couldn't do it like that in Judaism, but you could in patriarchy, the first regime. And it reminds me of that. So whenever you want to express thanks to God and offer a sacrifice to God in thanksgiving as such, whenever you want to. Isn't that amazing that God set it up like that? And it's just like you ought to be thankful all the time anyway. But He knows that on occasion, anybody that's made in His image, that knows where he came from, and has the blessings of God pour out upon him every day, wants to do it. There's something rotten about a heart that never thanks God. It's normal behavior to thank God. And God has allowed us to do that. In Psalm 116, verse 17, the psalmist says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. and will call upon the name of the Lord. It goes along with our supplications. I want to thank you, God, for doing this for me, for doing this and giving me this and blessing me this way. And I have told you, and it was true, if we knew everything God does for us every day, we couldn't list them all in a prayer. The service would run too long. But we generalize a lot of times. Sometimes we get specific because the mood strikes us. But a lot of times we generalize. We sometimes say, we're grateful for all of the spiritual blessings. Well, that's a multitude. We're grateful for all the material blessings. You know, we're grateful for our relationships, our family, loved ones. Grateful for all the things that we have. They're just on and on. Counts your many blessings. So it goes along with, then I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the New Testament will do this. I'll make my requests. But every time I make a request, it's always out of a heart that is thankful. And that brings us to point two. Not only do you have in Scripture thanksgiving offering, but you have the concept of thanks because it's felt. Thanks felt. And I want you to go with me to Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As therefore ye received Christ, he's writing to brethren, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now notice, how do you walk in Him? Rooted. And build it up. Now rooted, you go down. You know, you got your roots, you go down. Build it up, you're edified. And establish, you're confirmed in your faith. Even as you were taught, do what you were told. Do what you were taught to do in the gospel of Christ. That's how you live. We keep on doing as we're told. Notice the last thing. Abounding in thanksgiving. And he doesn't even dwell on the expression of it. Well, that's what it is, but it grows out of this heart because you're rooted and you're builded and you're established and you're taught. What does that do to a Christian's heart? My goodness, how can I thank God enough for my situation? I'm just passing through one time on this earth. It could have been other than it is. My blessings have been extraordinary in their height, in their depth, in their length and width and breadth. My blessings have been extraordinary. I feel grateful. This is not a show. Don't you feel that way too? And when you had Thanksgiving, that particular meal one time a year, and family members were around you, and you think about God, and you bow your head, and somebody, some Christian, leads you in prayer, and everybody is so grateful for everything that God means to us and everything that He's done for us. Now, if you will, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, let's pick it up right here. Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to come along in their contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They haven't funded their money yet. He wants them to do that. For the ministration of this service not only filleth up the measure of the wants of the saints. Now, if you people will help in your contribution, we got some poor people in the church in Jerusalem, and you said you would help. And I want you to go ahead and get that done now. And that's one thing it'll do. It'll help to meet need. You think about all the thousands of dollars in checks that Randy sends out all the time. That contribution up on the board right now is staggering. Why does God give you so much money? Why has He blessed this congregation like He has? And He's sending that money out by the thousands. And we get back those letters and those reports and those hearts. My goodness, they don't have enough words to say thank you. That's why they put our name on all those things and keep Sheffield over there alive in India, you know, and all of that. They are so extraordinarily grateful. And they say it all the time. It's going to meet need. I'm so grateful that we can do that. And Randy mentioned to me the other day where the congregation here is now sending $1,000 a month that we weren't sending to them to the orphans home over there. We were sending to the preacher schools. They got two schools over there, and we've been helping with that for quite a while now, to train preachers. And they scatter out and go to various countries over there where it's hard, but they're still going. They're still learning. But now we're able to send, due to God's blessing you, we're able to send $1,000 a month to help that orphan's home, where they're picking up all those little kids and bringing them into safety and security and nourishing them. We hear a terrible situation. Aren't you glad you can help a little bit before you leave this earth? It'll meet the needs, but abounding also through many thanksgivings. How many prayers are said about the Sheffield Church over there? And in India with you, John, and you, Jacob, and those preachers we're helping there, those congregations, how many times do they mention the Sheffield Church? Because the money keeps coming. And they keep preaching and teaching and sharing rice and helping needy, poor people, trying to draw people to God. What an amazing thing. So you help meet the need, and that brings forth so many thanksgivings unto God, seeing that through the proving of you, by this ministration, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession unto the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution unto them and unto all. Doesn't that fit Sheffield? Now, he's talking about Corinth or anybody that's in this situation. But they're thankful. And they think this about you. Those are Christians. They're studying the same book we're studying. The preachers are preaching the same gospel we're preaching. They're benevolent. They're helpful. They have the love of God in their hearts. You know, Philip, when I told him, Randy told me to tell Philip we'd be sending some extra money. And he had a very fine thought in regard to that. He attributed that to God. And that's what Paul did right here. It abounds in gratitude, thanksgiving. Those people care. Those people are Christians just like we are. God took notice. God noticed us through them. Their liberality. And they'll quote scripture back to us. They'll send passages back to us, you know. What a wonderful thing. And we get appeals all the time, and maybe we can help some other people. I don't know. Maybe we can do more with what we've got. But keep on, brethren. God loves you. God's helping you. God's blessing you. Let's keep on being wise with His goods. Number three. Thanks commanded to be cultivated. This is the third category. You got thanks? What about this thanks? It's commanded to be cultivated. You know, in Colossians 3:5, Paul just comes out and says it. Be ye thankful. Have you ever thought about telling somebody that? Now, if he tells us that, that means we can be that. Be good, we'll say to a son or a daughter. Be good. That means I expect them to do it because they've got the capacity to become that. Saying to somebody, be thankful. What if somebody says, well, I don't know how to be. Well, there's something wrong with you. Good night. Sit down and evaluate yourself. Take a month and sit down and assess your soul. What's so wrong with you that you can't be? I even have a book where an atheist says he's grateful. An atheist! And he said in the book, I just don't have anybody to thank. Isn't that pathetic? He's the head of a religion department. And that's our nation. We put an atheist to head up a religion department. You don't have to be a believer in God to head the religion department in a state university. And he's an atheist, but he's got so many blessings. He'll talk about his life. He's got a good life, and I'm grateful. I just don't have anybody to say thank you to. I would argue this, that gratitude itself as a characteristic of the human spirit is proof of the giver. As much so as thirst is a proof of water. That's what I'd argue. And if he had more sense than he does, I'm not trying to be unkind to him, but he writes these horrible books all the time, trying to help people to see that this is not God's book. And he doesn't have anybody to thank. My goodness, such misdirection. The Bible teaches us to cultivate thanks so that you can be grateful. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 100 and verse 4, a more familiar passage. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I tell you, don't you love yourself more? Don't you, let's say it like this. Don't you like yourself more when gratitude surfaces? I mean, you're thankful all the time. I know that. But in those moments when you're just reflecting on how God has been so good to you, don't you like yourself more then? When you're thinking and you're feeling grateful. It's there. You've always cultivated. And sometimes just like in a service or in your private meditations, it just comes out. I just got to say it. I've got to say it. Thank you, Father. You've been so good. We just sang about that. I can't hold it in. It's like Jeremiah with a word in his heart. You know, it's like fire in my bones. And that's the way gratitude is in the heart of a faithful Christian. It's got to come out. You cultivate it all your life. It's a growing crop. And it will express itself in praise and thanksgiving unto God. But then number four, and this is a sad thing, you've got the category we can call thanks missing. We've got thanksgiving, but sadly, you've got thanks missing. How does God stand us? How does He stand people that eat like pigs and they never lift up their eyes and think about the origin of whatever it is they have that's good? They don't think about it. They're made to think about it. They're made to reflect on it and to respond to it. They're not doing themselves a favor. They're not doing God right. They're not doing us right living like that. You ever had somebody walk up to you in a cafe or restaurant or whatever and you didn't mean this for, you just don't want to be intimidated by the public atmosphere. You say, well, I usually say thanks, so let's just bow our heads and say thanks before the meal. You know, we do that. We've done it at the old house cafe up there. And then somebody comes over and says, I just wanted you to know that I've been trying to get my son or daughter to say grace before prayer. And it was good to see somebody doing that. They live in a culture that does not encourage that. They live in a culture that despises that. And then sometimes somebody comes up to you and says, I saw you bow your head a while ago. And I pointed it out to my son or my daughter. And I wanted them to know there are still people that do that. But the fact is, more often than not, most people don't express thanks because they don't believe in the giver of the goods. Thanks missing. Romans 1 verse 21. Sad verse we came to early on in our study of the chapter of Romans. When Paul discusses the degradation of Gentiles now long gone, because that knowing God they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened, just like many an American today. Don't have any sense, not sense enough to say thanks, because you've already discounted the giver of the goods. Sad, sad, sad. You know, Psalm 107 is an interesting psalm. And all the way through this psalm, the psalmist is bemoaning the fact that so many of the Jews and the people in the world were not giving thanks. They weren't praising God. Now you think about that. We're not the first moment in history where somebody looked around and said, you know, I'm surrounded by a lot of people that aren't as grateful as I am for the blessings I have. I wish more people were thankful. And Psalm 107, periodically, look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why don't people out there stop and say thank you? Why don't they praise God? I wish they would. Oh, that men would. Come down to verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now come down to verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now come down to verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. All the way through. Why don't people stop and say thank you? That God has blessings, His goodness. Don't even praise Him. Don't even thank Him for it. Now the last passage, look at verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We didn't read all the verses in between, where He talks about how God blesses us. He does this, and He gives this, and He does this, and He gives this. Now, if you're wise, and you meditate on how God works, and what He does, and how you stand, you'll thank Him. You'll praise Him for His goodness, for the wonderful works to the children of men. So many passages in Scripture call attention to what all God does for us. At any rate, you've got the classification called thanks missing. We'll just call it that. But then number 5, you've got thanks misguided. Now this is a new way of looking at it, but there are passages that do this. I'm just giving a name for it. A classification. Thanks misguided. Like in Luke 18:11. Lord, I'm grateful I'm not like Seth. Lord, I'm grateful I'm not like Lloyd or Susie or anybody else in here. I'm grateful I'm not like Josue. Good night. I'm grateful I'm not like Josue. Now, what does that do? And see, in that passage, the Lord talks about that. People that they're thankful. Somebody might say, well, at least he was thankful. Oh, yeah, you want to commend that? You want to commend? Well, I commend his gratitude. I just don't commend his, the object of his thanks, what he thanks for. No, he shouldn't be like that, period. I thank God that I'm not like other men. And that publican over there, standing afar off, beating his breast, I'm glad I'm not even like him. Oh, my, I'm so grateful that I am so good. And Jesus said that man over there, that Jew, not a Christian, but a Jew in Judaism, went down to his house justified. This man had a rotten attitude. And how did he get so swollen up on himself? By comparing himself to other people. What about comparing yourself to God? What about comparing yourself to Jesus? Paul would talk about that in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. He said, I know there are people that compare themselves with other men, and they measure themselves by themselves. They finally conclude there's something because, well, I'm better than he is. Well, so what? What if he's not good at all? What if he's just a little bit good? You have no right, conclusive, favorable standing before God simply by comparing yourself to somebody else that may not be good anyway. Compare yourself to Paul. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to the Father, an obedient angel. Well, I'm better than he is. You think you ought to go through life trying to secure your feelings on that kind of basis? Yeah, I've seen him steal. I've heard him curse. I know about him. I'm better than that. The Bible doesn't say you go to heaven because you're better than that. In the heart of a man that's not going there anyway. And so, even though, there are sometimes you can't have comparisons that are just and fair, none leads to arrogance. And certainly none should not be in sort of a vengeant type spirit or put down type spirit. It has nothing to do with that. Thanks misguided. What if a man, you know the way they do the advertising now? The devil is so slick, you know. And now to be a drunk, you need to be a responsible drunk. You need to be careful. And so the liquor people put that out there all the time. You talk about political correctness. We're going to sell this junk, but we're going to be responsible with it. And everybody's going to be responsible with it. What about what if somebody starts at their family meals thanking God for their Coors? We're grateful, Father, for all of the liquor that we have. You know, you go to some of these rodeos and they'll talk about cowboy church over here, and then they'll talk about beer over here. And they think they can be grateful for all of this over here. What about that? I'm not trying to misrepresent. I've been to rodeos. So we want to invite you to cowboy church on Sunday. And then on the barrels, of course, for the barrel racing, there's Coors. And they'll talk about that. Maybe have some advertising around. So in that kind of life, you can have these kinds of blessings. You think they're blessings. And you can thank God for this kind of life in this kind of church. Misguided thanks. That's what it amounts to. They may not say, "I'm grateful for Coors." But the way they talk about it, that's what it comes down to. Misguided thanks. God never gave us filth. He never gave us one thing to destroy us and our families. He never did. He's the giver of all perfect giving and every perfect gift, James 1:17. But He never gave us a sorry gift. And He never will. Never. Number six, there's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, we should give thanks. We should always give thanks. And there's something in Matthew 26 that I wanted to mention because I want you to think about it with me just for a moment. In Matthew 26:27, before the church is established and even before the cross, you remember that the Lord inaugurated this memorial service to His blood and His body. That would be given on the cross. We just had that service just a few minutes ago. The Lord's Supper. In Matthew 26, He's inaugurating this. He's starting this. It's after Passover now. They've had the Passover feast. And while they're there, He has this bread before Him and this fruit of the vine. And He sets aside these emblems to be used in this memorial service. Now read this with me. And as they were eating, that's the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and He gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He took a cup and did what? And gave thanks. And gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. But I say unto you, I shall not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." Now, did you catch that? When He was inaugurating the supper and when He got to the fruit of the vine, He said, "Thanks." He's thankful for the memorial to His death. Now, if you say it like that, and that's what He's doing, you say it like that and you ponder that, you get the idea, don't you? That behind that, there's gratitude in His incarnate heart. There's gratitude for the privilege of serving unto death. Now, we know how He wrestled in Gethsemane. We understand that. But what about this other part? "I'm grateful, Father, that in the kingdom there's going to be a memorial to My death." It's kind of hard for me to think that He would be grateful for the memorial without some element in His spirit being grateful for the privilege of doing that in behalf of which the memorial is set. Now we know Hebrews 5, that he was heard for his godly fear. God could have delivered him out of death if it had been the Father's will. He wrestled with his emotions in Gethsemane. And it seemed from his emotional side on the cross that God for a moment had abandoned him. But it seems right here when he's offering thanks for the memorial to his death, that behind all of that, he came to seek and save the lost. He came to be that sheep, that lamb led before shearers, you know. The lamb before his shearers dumb. All of that. He came to die. John would say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Don't you get the idea that in his heart there's this, as one of the members of the Godhead, which is always and will remain a difficult puzzle, but he's grateful for the privilege of dying for the sins of the world. Now you talk about gratitude. Now the next time, you know, I start losing gratitude, think about that. And start getting into a mode where I don't want to help anybody. I've tried to help. I'm sick of helping. I'm tired of helping. No. Jesus told us what a great life was. It's service. You want to rise in heaven's sight, you serve. You go down. You bend low. You help all the way to death. That's what Jesus did. All the way to death and even beyond death in his resurrected state. 40 days discussed things concerning the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Even after he died, what's on his mind? The church. The church. The kingdom. What's on your mind? What's going to be on my mind all the way to death? What's going to be on my mind all the way after death? Thanks. Thanks. Given. Let me make one or two more points here. Sometimes you have thanks mentioned with other things. We'll just talk about this as thanks connected or thanks associated. Philippians 4:4-7. You have prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Make your requests known unto God. Are you doing it? Now God can grant you peace, but you've got to be a part of the program. Make your supplications known. That's your requests, your prayers. You can praise God, do all various things in prayer. The supplications, it's where you're asking for help. You're asking for things. Now you do that. So prayers, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we'll just call it thanks associated. Thanks connected. Thanks in my heart is not a solitary attribute. It's there with other traits. Just as it is in your life too. And then there's number 8. Thanks necessary to satisfying blessings. To sanctifying blessings. 1 Timothy 4:4. This is why I say that a person in the world does not even stand in right relationship to his blessings. Sometimes because he doesn't have any gratitude. They're sanctified through the Word of God. I told you you could have them. And through prayer. All blessings that God gives are sanctified by his telling me I can use them. And by my gratitude for them. And when I do not do my part in coming up to the recognition that they came from him and thanking him for them, then I do not even stand in right relationship to my blessings. Isn't that an incredible thing? So thanks as necessary to sanctifying blessings. Then number 9, there's thanks enduring. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. You never quit. You'll never reach a point in your life or have an experience that should drive gratitude away. Never. So if it leaves, you know there's something wrong with you and the way you responded to your situation. Thanks enduring. In 1 Thessalonians 3:9, there is thanks inadequate. I do want to look at that passage because we oftentimes overlook this. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. Notice this. For what thanksgiving can we render again unto God for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before for our God? Paul says, in effect, what else can I say? How many times can I say it? What more thanks can I give? For you good brethren at Thessalonica, this is what I call thanks inadequate. And you've heard me say it time and again, and you feel this way too. I do not have a vocabulary adequate to the expression of thanks that God deserves or that I feel. I try to do the best I can. I want to be, I want to magnify His name. And so I try to say the best prayer I can say. And I keep on saying it always in all things. All things. Think of Job. Think of me. Think of you. All of us. In all things. If thanks ever leaves, it's because you left God. Now remember that, brethren. Let's all remember that. If I give up on thanks, it means I've given up on God. Which means, in effect, I've given up on myself too. Thanks inadequate. And then number 11, Luke 17, 5 through 10. Thanks impossible. This is thanks impossible. And this is the passage where Jesus teaches that heaven is not a thank you. That's why it's impossible. It's possible for us. It's reasonable for us. It's necessary for us. It's essential for us. We should be thanking God all the time. But you know what? That doesn't work the other way. So Jesus tells a story about a man in the field coming in. You know, a slave. He's a servant, a bond servant. When he comes into the house, his master doesn't say, "Well, sit down here and let me get you supper." Doesn't do that. He says, "Okay, now take care of your house duties. Serve me, and then you can have yours." Does he thank him because he did what was required? Nevertheless, you say, after you've done all the things that are commanded you, you say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Heaven is not a thank you. God is not grateful for your service. I am. I'm grateful for your service. I'm grateful just like Paul is for faithful brethren. What more can I say? How else can I express my gratitude for you? Words, it's inadequate. But God's not like that. He's the giver of all gifts. And He's God, the Most High. He's the, Matthew 17, the majestic glory. He's the ultimate. Now, He wants me in heaven. He wanted to bring many sons to glory. But you know this. Heaven is no thank you. He wants you to say thank you. But He doesn't have to. Because He's the giver of every and the maker of all blessings. Amazing thing, isn't it? When you start thinking about how the Bible treats thanks, there's so many ways to talk about it. We're so grateful God has blessed us and keeps on blessing us. And let's keep on being wise with His blessings and grateful to the depth of our spirit that He has blessed us the way that He has. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, come in faith, repent of your sins, make a good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?
There's a fountain.